get ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's gonna like you, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
Still, if one of their men is so ferocious,
don't worry about it. The disciples are now well aware of the fact that my kung fu is unbeatable.
Brother, we trap! Shaolin hero, you have the command. Don't resist. You are a traitor. Avenge Master Chen.
I'm a product of the block. We used to cook the product in the pot. Add soda, turn the product into rock. It's in my DNA, you see, it started with my pops. In his heyday, he probably put your father in the box. In my heyday, I probably put the product in my sock. Ain't no vacay, the props become a problem when it's hot. Mayday, mayday, but no charge. I'm nutty with the bars, that's a payday. So, bruh, this ain't even a bar, this is AA. Back up in the trunk with the AK. Each line pack a fabulous punch, no diss to Ray J. Nah, see, I don't dab and I don't nay-nay. Got bottles coming out, warriors come out and play, ayy. Just know I'm grade A, get a slice of bread. Okay, some hoods love me, someone like me dead. Okay, my goon hungry, his thighs is red. Buddy clumsy, go oops upside your head.
We at Dro and Poe suckers. Range Rovers flood up the rucker. Me a thousand chains on, I got put on with luck. Evergreen baggies, selling capsules, running the classroom. Slick bastards getting cream, yelling cash rule. Smell like Pacquiao, but under the leather. Hold a Mac 10, pumping up in one oak, the Grammy hour. Coke chemist taste, the flow is numb. Knees and copper run blunt off the get back, salute me, then one, I'm out, off to the races. My blazers ain't patient, they wanna spray shit. Get elephant blown for stalking race shit. Jammies carry nitrogen, light up a session like I'm on Vicodin. Fuck with the righteous men and we fighting it. Yeah, 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 the rebels is here. Medals and gear, getting fried off a medical. That's incredible, the flyers. The most notorious, why is half of those liars? Off niggas' heads like papayas. Before I
poly, red. Yo, what's going on, everybody? So welcome to the Spann Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spann. This is episode number 180 of the report. Right now, we rocking out to some new shit, man. That Wu-Tang featuring Red, man. People say, rock out with your boy.
Baby robbing old ladies, that's a product of no home training. I show you the ropes, I'm narrating Al Heyman. I told Lighty, if I hate him, I'ma violate him. Man, I'm not a shooter, but I know shooters. And if them shooters don't shoot up, I go suit up. Red man and the W is televised. We ain't the niggas, media telling hell. This a campfire of a vampire. Yeah. I don't sleep when hot beats through the amplifier. And they ain't nigga got something to say. I'm like, yeah, okay, y'all corny anyway, doc.
People say, love is just an energy.
My team hard,
man,
making them lean hard. You see more riders lined
it
up.
It feel good to be an old nigga right now, man.
My queen hot, making the scene pop.
This that 40-year-old rap, man. This shit goes hard, man. These bars is ridiculous. This beat is soulful, man. This shit is hot, and I fucks with it heavy. I mean, we've been getting blessed with a lot of real good music from a lot of old cats, man. This is why it's always ridiculous when you start hearing people say, like, yo, man, you age out of the game. You age out of hip-hop, man. Like, you'll never do that. Like, these dudes been doing this for a long time. You gotta respect the guys that came before you, Young Bucks. These dudes is flames right now. You can't deny this right now. Man, this shit goes hard. God damn.
Firing squad, defying the odds, and the flow solitary, just me behind the bars.
Sparks up the bulletproof, game face intensity, applied ingenuity, tech criminology, sharp mathematically, certified, recognized by every eye worldwide. Back to the streets of the do or die hustler. I understand politics, consistent, never quit, superstar, right hits.
Yeah,
come
man.
Have a listen, y'all.
Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. It's Saturday night. Feeling good, man. Going out tonight. So, like, we doing this a little bit early because I'm doing something a little bit later. You know what I'm saying? But, put the mute on this one. But yeah, man, that shit goes, man. People Say featuring Red, man. That's coming off of that new Wu-Tang album, The Saga Continues. I think that drops on the 26th this month. Let me see. I believe that's the 20, no, October 13th. So that drops in a few days, like less than a week. We gonna get that new Wu-Tang album, man. Real talking, that shit goes. So far as that song is concerned, man, that shit is, you know, it was funny, man. Like I heard that, and then there was this freestyle that Method Man and Black Thought did on Sway in the Morning, dude. And like, yo, like, those dudes' skills is bananas, man. Like, it's one of those things, man. Like, again, like I said, like, when it comes to hip hop, man, like, you gotta pay homage, man. You gotta bow down when these OGs get in here and they do their thing, man. They lay it down flat, man. Like, Method and Black Thought are some rapping ass niggas, man. Like, it's just no, like, I played Black Thought Web off the Roots album just last week. Matter of fact, what was that, Tuesday? Just played that. Black Thought is like a rapping ass motherfucker. Like, he's one of my top five, guaranteed. Like, just off the top of the dome. Yeah, even on that freestyle, like, Method was reading off his phone. But shit, that's only because he ain't having enough time to memorize the shit, dude. Like, even reading the shit off his phone, like, the flow never fucking fell, man. It was like, you gotta see it for yourself. You gotta see it for yourself, man, real talk. But, yeah, man, I'm feeling like the damn near 40-year-old dude I am. Like, real talk. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. But before we get into all of that, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. This area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. And of course, I'll read those emails here live and respond to you here as well. Follow your boy on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week. Also, leave me a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, man. It helps the show grow. It lets people know why you like the Span Report. And it's your way of putting on without paying nothing, right? Because you can donate to the show too if you so like, right? But you can go to the Span Report on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio and you can leave that 5-star review. And it's just your way of putting on for the show, man. Spreading the word as to what we got going on here at the Span Report Podcast, man. Real talk. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's there. The videos for the podcast are there. You can vote in the polls there. You can leave comments there. Pretty much anything. You can do anything. You can donate to the show as often as you like and as much as you like. And it's always appreciated here at the Span Report, man. Real talk. I appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. So, yeah, man, we are here on a Saturday, man. And like I said, like, we got a lot going on. I'm missing the Michigan State football game right now because I wanted to get this done. It was a lot of stuff I kind of like over the course of the week that I just kind of, I wanted to speak to this shit, man. And I said, I'm going to do this as often as I can. Like, I don't want to, you know, I know the scheduling shit is like been tight for your boy, but I want to try to do this as often as I can. So, yo, I found a time, and tonight is the time, and I'm missing the Michigan State football game, which is kind of big here, but you know, I love y'all more, right? So we're gonna do that, right? So yeah, man, I was you know, one of the things I was thinking about, man, you know, I talked to you guys a little bit about my brother, right? My younger brother, he's been in prison for the last 12 years, and my he's actually preparing to be released pretty soon, probably sometime this month. And his son, my nephew Derek, hit me up on Facebook Messenger, man. It was like a little video chat on Facebook Messenger. And one of the things that like really tripped me out about this conversation was the fact that my nephew looks so much like my brother when he was a kid. Like, my nephew has no clue how much like his daddy he really looks. Like, my brother couldn't deny this kid if he wanted to. It's like he spit this little boy out. Nose, cheeks, everything. And I'm sitting here and I'm watching this little kid talk to me about, you know, when his dad getting out, we're talking about video games, he wants to come down and visit, all of this stuff, man. I'm sitting there being like, damn, you look like your daddy, like that. And I know, like, every time he talks to me and every time we, like, he's come to see me a few times, and I always like, damn, you look like your daddy. I know he's probably tired of hearing me say that shit, right? But one of the things that made me think about was one of the things that made me think about, man, was just like how old I am now, right? Like, I'm 37 years old, man, and I'm at the age where, like, I'm not, young to where like I'm going to the clubs and like kicking it in the clubs real heavy and nothing like that. But I'm not old enough to be like, you know, I don't know, like in the bowling league or some shit. You know, I don't like I'm not like I'm not going to the VFW post and nothing like that. But you know, it used to be a time, man, when I was really active in my Freemasonry or whatnot, where we used to do like these cabarets here in Detroit, right? And one of the things about the cabarets in Detroit was, you know, it was like one of those places where your parents went and your uncles and your aunts went, and that's where they went to go kick it at, right? They wasn't kicking it at the club. They wasn't kicking it at the lounge. They would go to a Masonic hall. They would go to like a banquet hall. They would go to a VFW post or whatever, and they would go to a cabaret. Now, I know some of you who may not necessarily be familiar with cabarets, like cabarets are one of those things where like you basically you put on, you know, some of your good clothes, man. Like, you know, if it was your uncle, you know, Charlie and your aunt Charlene, you know, she put on her cocktail dress, you know, with the sequins and everything, man. And then your uncle, he put on his, you know, he put on his Dobbs hat, but then he had on a linen two piece, you know what I'm saying? And if it was the summertime, his two piece was a short set, okay? He had the linen two piece short set on with his sandals, right? And your Uncle Charlie was not mad about going to get his toes done. Right, Uncle Charlie would go get his toes done, and he'd tell you like, "God damn, boy, you see, I'm gonna tell you right now, you don't know nothing about having somebody rub on your feet and making you feel real good. I'm gonna tell you right now, I ain't got no bunions on my toes, I ain't got no hammer toes, I ain't got no corns on my shit. It's cause I take care of myself, boy. I'm gonna tell you right now, you need to go get your goddamn pedicure. Don't let these little motherfuckers tell you otherwise." Right? That's how your Uncle Charlie would talk to you, right? And your aunt Shirley, your auntie Charlene, she just want to go and look good. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm going to just put this dress on, and I bet a bitch better not say nothing to me. I'm going to tell you right now. And she bet not say nothing. As a matter of fact, she bet not wear the same dress. That's what I know. She bet not wear the same dress, because I know that bitch went down there to go get that dress after she seen I had that motherfucker. She bet not go do it, right? So you got your auntie Charlie. I mean, you got your auntie Charlene, and you got your Uncle Charlie, and they're going down to the cabaret at the Masonic Hall, and, you know, they doing their thing, man. They doing their grown-up thing, and, you know, now we at that age to where we are Uncle Charlie and Auntie Charlene, right? You know, back in the day, it was like we was 10, 11, 12 years old, and this was what they was doing. We was kind of laughing at them, like, yo, my nephew's 12, I'm 37, like, yeah, this is... I'm Uncle Charlie now. I'm sitting up here telling him about all these video games that I'm playing. But yeah, at the end of the day, like, he's still looking at me like, man, you still playing video games? Like, yeah. But so getting back to the whole Detroit cabaret thing, right? Now, the cabaret is basically where you go. And it wasn't the club, and it wasn't the it wasn't like a lounge or nothing like that. It was like the VFW post or the Masonic hall or a rental like a banquet hall or something like that. And what happens there is you go there and you drink and you dance and there's a DJ. The only thing is like you bring your own drinks, right? You bring your own drink. So you stop at the liquor store, man, and your Uncle Charlie, he goes and he gets his Fifth of Crown Royal, and your Auntie Charlene, she goes in there, she gets her, she might have been drinking Boone's Farm, or she might be drinking the Crown Royal with your Uncle Charlie, depending on how hot she was trying to do that night, how hype she was trying to get that night. She might be drinking the Crown Royal, but she gonna mix it a little bit with some Coke, okay? She gonna have hers with Coke. Your Uncle Charlie, he usually have his with the ice. You know what I'm saying? He cool like that. You know what I'm saying? Nah, I'm drinking my shit straight, young blood. You don't know, just put a little, 2 cubes of ice. That's all I need. You ain't got to put all that fancy shit in my shit. Just go ahead, give me 2 cubes of ice, and I'm good. Right? So yeah, so your Uncle Charlie and your Auntie Charlene, they is at the cabaret and they chilling, right? Now, one thing about the cabaret, and this is something that I think a lot of folks don't really know if you've never been to a cabaret, a lot of times at the cabaret, the songs are kind of, they kind of play the same songs every time, right? You go to the cabaret, you are guaranteed to kind of hear the same songs every time. Now, see, the thing about even when they do that, though, right? See, the DJ, he'll try to mix it up because DJ know at the cabaret in Detroit, it's kind of a mixed crowd. Sometimes you're going to have some young niggas in there. You're going to have some 25-year-old dudes. They're going to be in there. They might want to listen to a little hip-hop, R&B or whatever, you know, some of the trap shit. They might want to listen to some of that. And then you're going to have, like, Auntie Shirlene and Uncle Charlie, and they're going to want to hear, like, some Charlie Wilson. They want to hear some Luther Vandross. They're going to hear some shit like that. And then you're going to sometimes run into the fact that your grandma and granddaddy might be off of in that motherfucker. They might want to hear some Otis Redding. They might want to hear some Johnny Taylor. They might want to hear some shit, Bobby Womack. They might want to hear some of that shit, right? But one thing about the cabaret, man, you're gonna hear some of the same songs all the time, especially at a Detroit cabaret. Now, I'm not sure if this is something that's like worldwide or nationwide and how everybody gets down, if they you know, they dance spots or whatever. I don't know what they call them down south, and I don't know what they call them out west. I don't even know what they call them on the East Coast, but I know here in Detroit, they do cabarets. In Chicago, they call them a stepper set, right? You'll go to a stepper set. Here in Detroit, they call them cabarets. So we're going to go through... we're going to go through some of the songs that you are guaranteed to hear at a Detroit cabaret right now. We gotta mix it up. So of course, you know, because you're gonna have a young crowd there, sometimes you gonna run into the one they want to do the hustles, right? They want to do the little, you know, the line dancing and all that other shit, the little slides and whatnot. You gonna run into a lot of that. So one of the first songs you may hear might be something a little bit like this. First, right, you might come into the cabaret. It might be about 9:30, 9:45, something like that. It ain't really kicked off yet, but they, you know, they're gonna play that. They're gonna make sure you get your little wobble on, right? You might hear this right after that, though, because this is when the young people done really start crowding up the place, and they want to get that, you know, they want to get that little energy off. So right after that, you're gonna probably hear this shit right here. You're gonna hear this. Now, see, the one thing about these songs here, they come with a lot of motherfucking instructions, right? They got to tell you what to do, because you basically out there, you listening for the instructions, and you run into the beat. You kind of riding with the beat or whatever, but you got to listen for these instructions. Your boy Span, like, me personally, like, I can't dance, man. Like, I'm going to just be honest with y'all. Like, you know, I really go to the club. Like, if I do go to the club, man, I kind of go there to, like, kind of hang out, chill in the back, you know, maybe have my drink or whatever. If I'm with my wife, you know, if she wants to dance, which isn't really much, like, because, you know, I can't dance. Like, yeah, I'm not out there doing that. Right? I'm not out there doing that. And you know what? Your Uncle Charlie and your Auntie Shirlene, they asses ain't out there either. At least not on that one, right? Because they got their little cha-cha slides and shit like that that they like too. But they not out there doing that one. That went too fast for them. That went too fast paced. You know, they got to let the young whippersnappers go out there and do their thing with that one, right? So yeah, you're going to hear some of that at the Detroit Cabaret. Now, another thing But you're going to hear the Detroit Cabaret because sometimes they got to throw it back, man. Sometimes they got to throw it back to the old school. So you're going to fuck around. It's going to be a Friday or a Saturday night, and you're going to hear this, man. It's going to go down. It's going. You're going to hear this. I know that shit be jamming. That shit be jamming. You probably in your car or in your office right now, like, God damn, man, I was getting my shit to that. I know. That's gonna get played though, and that's reaching back to the old schools, right? You know, that's reaching back, letting them go there, get their little jam on. You know what I'm saying? Because you know what? Here's the thing, man. It's important that your people have somewhere to have a little outlet, right? Because you know, your Uncle Charlie, he work at the GM plant, man. He been working at the GM plant for about 25 years, man. And your Auntie Shirlene, she been a school secretary for the last 15 years, man. She don't even like them little kids at the damn school, but she been out there, she been working real hard, and she want to get her time off. She got to let off some steam, right? And your Uncle Charlie, man, like, he just want to get out and show off his new conversion van, right? Your Uncle Charlie, he got his dive hat on. He got his leather. He got his linen suit on with the shorts and the sandals. You know what I'm saying? He got the conversion van, you know, basically the hotel on wheels, and he in the van club and everything. He want to step out, show his shit clean and everything. He going to the cabaret. They going to do this kind of thing for your Uncle Charlie and your Auntie Shirlene. You know what I'm saying? So that's going on. But that's not the only kind of thing, man. So, like, you gonna mess around, right? You gonna mess around, and as they throwing it back old school, then they gonna mix it up a little bit, and then they gonna hit you with one of these, man. They gonna hit you with this shit right here, man. That shit's gonna be popping, right? Now, you know what's funny? What's gonna happen right there, man? Your Uncle Charlie gonna start feeling this. He gonna start feeling the crown roll, right? Uncle Charlie gonna be feeling the crown roll. Hell, even your Auntie Shirlene, she's sitting in her seat. She rolling in her motherfucking seat and shit. So they gonna have to get they, you know, they older asses up out there on the dance floor. They gonna try to do their little thing like, hey, this my shit right here. Yeah. Right, and you know it's funny, right? So your Uncle Charlie and your Auntie Shirlene, they gonna be out there and they gonna be dancing to this shit, and your Auntie Shirlene, she gonna start nagging your Uncle Charlie like, now Charlie, did you take your medication? I'm saying, you know, your back medication, because you did you take your dones? Because I know you be talking about your back hurting, and did you take your shit? And he like, God damn it, Shirlene, I don't like the way that shit make me feel. Now, you ain't got to keep nagging me about no goddamn medicine. Now, I just came up here to have a good time. You ain't got to be nagging me about that shit. And she like, all right, nigga, I'm just saying. I'm going to go for a dip tonight, and if you don't catch me, it's going to be some problems. That's what I'm saying. So take your shit is what I'm trying to tell you. Right? So they feeling their shit, man. The Crown Royal is flowing. The party is jumping. They got the Freaky How You Want It song popping. You know what I'm saying? And then right after that happens, right? Right after that goes off, you know, they going to kind of they going to mix it in. They going to go from that kind of high, you know, I would say up tempo kind of shit. And then after a while, man, they start trying to slow it down just a little bit, but they still want to keep the hustles going, right? Because everybody like hustles at the cabaret. So they're going to keep the hustles going. So they're going to pull out some shit like this. They're going to pull this out. Shit, right? They go play that, man. It's gonna mellow out a little bit, man. Now by this time, even some of the young bucks done start calming down, right? They done got their little drink up in them. They might be on the molly or some shit, who knows? But by this point, they know they hear what their auntie they hear what their auntie Charlene, they hear what Uncle Charlie, granddaddy is over there with grandma, and he got his whole Masonic Lodge here with him, so they ain't really trying to disrespect granddaddy and grandma and they little thing. So yeah, niggas is like chilling out, right? So you got that going on, but then you're gonna flip it, right? Because, you know, that's kind of relatively new to a certain degree. Like, you know, it's not like really, really new, but it's new enough, right? And they still doing the hustle, right? This is some slow groove shit where, like, you could look out, you go out there and you look smooth and shit, right? Like, your boy's out there, like, Uncle Charlie out there moving, like, you'd be like, God damn, I ain't know Uncle Charlie had it like that. Auntie Charlene out there spinning and shit. You ain't even know Auntie Charlene had it like that. Then you figured out how Auntie Charlene and Uncle Charlie got together, right? You got that going on, right? So then you got that. And then what they'll do is they'll start playing shit like, you know, after a while, man, you have been there all night, you done drank, and you done paid for your setups. I done forgot all about the setups, man, because, like, your Uncle Charlie didn't got mad at the setups because, you know, he had to pay $10 to get him a bucket of ice and some cups, you know, because you got to get the setups for your table. You come in with your own liquor, but you still got to buy the setups, right? And they selling chicken dinners and shit all night. But then what ends up happening is, you know, after a while, y'all have been there, it's about, like, I don't know, damn near 12, 30, 1 o'clock, you know, and it's an older crowd still, because this is kind of a mature kind of set, you know what I'm saying? It ain't the club or nothing like that. It's a mature set. So what ends up happening is they got to let you know that, like, we about to wind this shit down, and you got about 30 minutes before we start shutting this motherfucker down. So what they'll start doing is they'll start playing shit like this, man, real talk.
Together and give a big hand to the one and only L.J. Reynolds. I had a key to the world. Girl, I give you everything. If I had a key to your heart.
All right, now you know you got 30 minutes to go Well, it's time to go home, right? It's almost time for you to go home. So they kind of went through the little genres and whatnot. You know, they play a little rap song here every now and again. A lot of hustles. You know what I'm saying? A lot of hustles. You done ate a lot of chicken at this point. You done already consumed most of that fifth of that Crown Royal y'all that came into the cabaret with, right? So you got that going on. But they got to start winding it down. Winding it down. And you got to, they really trying to like, they trying to get you in the mode, like start feeling like in love with who you came in there with. So what they'll do is they'll break you off with something like this.
Have walked away, but I didn't have to say a word to convince you to stay, 'cause you know and I know this thing is real, so we continue to learn and our love grows deeper still. Each day I watch you get better at this, each moment I'm more and more convinced. We trusted love, we took the risk, we ran our own pace, we won our race. I could never turn away. We've come so far, so far.
Stars look up at you.
And this is like the song they start sending your ass home to, right? And you got that Crown Royal up in you. Y'all been dancing all night, eating these chicken dinners all night. Your Uncle Charlie and Auntie Shirlene, they feeling themselves. He's still, his linen suit all sweated out. Her hair, she done pulled the motherfucking wig off. She don't even care no more. She like, come on, nigga, let's go. They don't even make it home. Uncle Charlie like, God damn it, I ain't got this van for nothing. You fuck around and have a new cousin like 9-10 months later. And that's what goes on at Detroit Cabaret, man. Hey, you know what's funny, man? I got the funny thing about this, man, is like I thought about all of this shit. I thought about all of this shit just having a conversation with my nephew a couple nights ago, thinking about how old I was getting. And like at some point in time, maybe me and my wife will be Uncle Charlie and Auntie Shirlene, right? That's what happened, man. I was sitting there talking to my nephew, and it just kind of flowed out that way, man. I thought about all these songs. I thought about cabarets, right? Because I haven't been to a cabaret in quite some time, and I mean, I think the last time I went to a cabaret, I might have been 30 years old. That was 7 years ago. But no matter what, those songs, man, those songs always get played, the same songs. There's no Detroit cabaret that you will go to that don't play those songs. I guarantee you. I would bet cash money that if you go to a Detroit cabaret right now, you're going to hear each and every last one of those songs at some point in the night. Even today. And I ain't been to a cabaret in 7 years, right? So, yeah, man. Yeah, man. Like, it's just one of those things, man. Like, we getting old and shit. We turn into our uncles and aunts and shit like that, man. It's a beautiful thing, man. The circle of life and all of that, right? So, yeah. Now, you know, one of the reasons I kind of wanted to kind of go through that whole thing, man, because, like, I know, like, listening to the show, man, this show can be heavy, man. Like, I talk about a lot of shit, especially, like, a lot of heavy political shit, and I'm going to do some of that again tonight. But it's, you know, it's good sometimes, man, to kind of unwind a little bit. I done ran out of my beer already and shit. I don't want to get up and go to the refrigerator and go get more. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, man, it's just one of those things. It's good sometimes, man, to just kind of, like, unplug from a lot of the bullshit that's going on in the world a little bit, you know, because we're going to talk about some bullshit later. But, yeah, it's kind of good to, like, just kind of, like, think back to some good times, man, and like have a good time. Like, and you know what? That's not even just a Detroit cabaret thing. I think you might be able to go to, say, if, like, the skating rink. I think some of those songs you probably hear at the skating rink or something like that. You guaranteed to hear some of those songs at, like, maybe a Chicago stepper set. Now, I don't know. Like, again, I don't know what they do out west. I don't know what they do down south. It's been a long time since I've been to a set down south, like probably college, man, when I was at Tennessee State. But, like, yeah, man, like, that's what gets played. Those are the songs, man. Like, I tried to come up with more, but hell, man, we already, like, over a half hour into this shit. So, yeah, man, that's what's going on, man. Real talk. Now, let's see. Maybe I can, like, switch up the order of some of the stuff that I want to talk about here, because I don't want to get into the racism just yet. But what I do want to do is get into, let me make sure this shit is turned up. What I do want to do is get into Blue Blazes.
What in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue
Blazes? Now, and what in Blue Blazes today, man? We got this story that came out of, let me go back. Because this here is actually, yeah, man, I'm kind of surprised by this. I did not know that this was a thing that you could really do this. But Little Richard has come out and said he ain't gay no more, and that is kind of one of those things where you, yeah. Looking for my goddamn bumpers and shit. Yeah. Little Richard is saying he's not gay no more. So now I'm going through my list of articles here. And I know I saved it. Here we go. Little Richard is against homosexuality now, right? So we got this story here out of Ebony.com. It says rock and roll legend Little Richard, who has previously described himself as both gay and omnisexual, has a new outlook on life at 84 years old. You know, the interesting thing about this is that I had, like, when I saw this video, because there is video attached to this, when I saw this video, I had no idea that that's what Little Richard looked like, because I'm used to seeing Little Richard, and, like, he had a lot of makeup on. He had his perm popping. He had his makeup on. He had a sequin shirt and everything on. Like, Little Richard was, like, out there, right? So I didn't even think that this was really Little Richard sitting in front of me while he's sitting in front of these two white people talking about how he ain't gay no more, right? And what's this? It says during a sit down with 3ABN, the icon shared his current views on sexuality, including dedicating his final years to living like Jesus while insisting that men should live as men and women as women. Anybody come in show business, they're going to say you're gay. Are you straight? Are you homosexual something? They're going to say it. But God, Jesus, he made men. Men, he made women. Women, wait. He made men. Men, he made women. Women, you know? And you gotta live the way God wants you to live. The Tutti Frutti singer, who no longer wears makeup or wigs, also spoke out against unnatural affections. He says, you know, all these things, so much unnatural affection, so much of people just doing everything and don't think about God, don't want no parts of him, he said. While the pianist was an ordained minister in 1970, many of his fans have wondered for years how the star reconciled his faith with his own journey to discovery. Richard, whose real name is Richard Wayne Pennyman, is quoted in a 2012 GQ interview saying, "We are all both male and female. Sex to me is like a smorgasbord. Whatever I feel like, I go for. What kind of sex am I? I'm omnisexual." In a 1995 interview with Penthouse, the Good Golly Miss Molly singer shared, "I've been gay all my life, and I know God is God of love, is a God of love, not of hate. Today, he is clearly singing a different tune, believing God saved him and can save others as well." Now, we've heard this story before.
I'm not gay no more. I am delivered.
Right. We've heard this story before. Now, you know, the interesting thing about this, like, I'm not gay, and I don't know how that, you know, I'll say this. I know what it feels like to be straight, right? And for those people who are gay and who feel like they were born gay and more than likely are born gay. Like, to have people like a Little Richard come out and do this, like Antoine Dotson, who's come out recently over the years to say he's no longer gay, he's been converted to a heterosexual. To have the I'm Not Gay No More dude come out and say he's been delivered and all that other stuff. Like, these kinds of people, like the notions of you being able to save yourself from being gay and it somehow, you know, your religion is pulling you away from this sin of who you are and who you were made to be. It just gives more fodder for people who have nothing but hate in their heart for gay people. And it's disheartening to see someone like Little Richard, who has been an icon in that community for decades, man. Like, people have always known Little Richard as, you know, flamboyant Little Richard. And they've always, like, kind of, they've been drawn to him because of his flamboyance, because of his exuberance and how he performed his music and everything else. So, like, it's disheartening to see him come back and say, well, God made man, man, and woman, woman, and all these other things, considering everything that we know now about how the Bible was written, what kind of books were left out of the Bible, what stories were decided to be kept within the Bible and everything else. It's like, just one of those things, man. Like, you just, like, you know, I get it. At some point, I feel like this. Little Richard feels like he's at the end of his life. And Little Richard's religion and his want to get right with God kind of makes him feel like he has to no longer be who he has been his entire life, right? Now, of course, I don't know Little Richard, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people who probably feel like, you know, nah, you know, you can be converted and all this other shit, and I'm really not even trying to argue with anybody about that. I just thought it was a little odd for Little Richard at 84 years old to come out and say that, you know, he's been delivered, so to speak, that he's no longer into men. He's no longer an omnisexual and everything else. And not only that, it's not as if he hasn't been aware of the scriptures since he was an ordained minister in 1970. So he's been an ordained minister for damn near, let's see, I'll be shit. What, 47 years, almost half a century he's been aware of this. And yet he's lived his life continuously the other way. So, yeah, man, that's kind of like one of those, like, what the fuck moments. Like, that's why I put it in Blue Blazes. Like, what the hell's going on with Little Richard concerning that? Now, I had another story that I was going to have in What a Blue Blazes, but then I didn't think it was really worthy. It was about, like, Miley Cyrus and her doing a cover of Bodak Yellow or whatever else. And, you know, like, yeah, Miley Cyrus, she did that on Jimmy Fallon. It was kind of like a bit for Jimmy Fallon. So, I was like, you know what, fuck it. I'm not going to even include that in What a Blue Blazes. But, yeah, man, that's what's going on. Little Richard is not gay no more.
I'm not gay no more. I am delivered.
Yeah, that's going on. Now, another thing that's going on, man, is you know, like I'm a purveyor of social media and whatnot, and I involve myself in a lot of discussions with a lot of different people about a lot of different things. And one of the things about being on social media is that you run into some of the worst motherfucking people this planet has to offer, right? And ironically, like, I was reading this story. It's actually on Facebook. I was reading this story, and Channel 7 in Detroit actually posted a story on their Facebook page, and it was about the United Negro College Fund. And the United Negro College Fund was actually soliciting donations for, you know, to help students who had been affected by the hurricanes Harvey and Irma, which basically kind of hit like Texas and Florida mainly. But, you know, as we know with the United Negro College Fund, a lot of those funds go to historically black colleges and universities, our HBCUs. And a lot of our HBCUs are based in the South. You got FAMU, you got Hampton, you got Alabama A&M, Southern University, Grambling University, Tennessee State University. You got Tuskegee University. You got Clark Atlanta University, Morehouse and Spelman. A lot of the schools are in the South, right? And they were affected by Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. And so Channel 7 put out, you know, this, they put out this story that they were looking for donations. So as the story is posted on Facebook, it says, for the cost of a cup of coffee or two movie tickets, You can help HBCU students impacted by the hurricanes get back to school and back on track. Please give what you can and donate today to the HBCU Student Relief Fund, right? Now, seems pretty innocuous. Seems like a worthwhile cause. Like, hey, man, we got some people who have been affected by these hurricanes. They're going to college students. They're trying to better their lives. They want to go to school. We should give some money to help these kids out, right? Yeah. Not in Trump's America, right? That's not what's happening in Trump's America. And it's one of those things where I've been saying this, I've been saying this a lot frequently, like racists are kind of like cockroaches, man. Like, especially in today's time, like these racists are coming out like when roaches come out when somebody's cooking in the house. Like, they start coming out of the walls and shit. Like, you start seeing them everywhere. Racists just popping up, right? So I, you know, doing what I do, and I know I'm a glutton for punishment sometimes when it comes to shit like this. But yeah, I'm going through the comment section. And I'm reading like all these people breaking their necks to say why they're not donating, right? I ain't giving them shit. Fuck them and all this other stuff, right? So I'm going to read to you some of the comments that were made by people in this thread about the United Negro College Fund. Angela Silman says, hell no. School should be for everyone, no matter what color, right? Ronald Rosso says, I thought you couldn't say the word Negro. Johnny Allen says, oh, I helped them, and the next thing you know, they're calling me a member of the KKK. Nah, I don't reward their bullshit, right? Bob Fuller says, I won't donate to racists. The irony of that is amazing, right? So then you got another one. This is, Johnny Allen also says, I'm not helping this racist separatist school. This is just more of the black supremacists run amok. I'm sick of the Black Lives Matter and the BET crowd. Yeah. Jason Newsom says better give every other charity screen time now. So now it's about giving everybody screen time because the United Negro College Fund has this thing going and Channel 7 decided to give it some airplay on their Facebook page. The shit didn't even hit the news broadcast. Now you got to give everybody screen time, right? Mike Ben, I donated to the United Caucasian College Fund. It doesn't exist. Johnny Allen again. No fucking handouts for you. Begging has always been the black privilege way, right? Another round of comments. Let's see. Who is this? Sean Truxaw says, well, he actually didn't say anything. He's got a gif up of Robert De Niro flipping the bird, right? Then he says it's a racist organization. Then Tony Rush says movie tickets are expensive. Hell no. Brian Sizemore says, nope, no way in hell. And yeah, like, so that was the gist of that, right? Now, again, I sometimes engage. I know sometimes I am a glutton for punishment when I do this, but I sometimes engage. One of the things that I said, I was like, you know, there's going to be a lot of racists on this post. In 3, 2, 1, like, I'm counting down to where the explosion of racists comes, right? And when I said that, there was this one lady by the name of Denise, it was Denise something. But it was ironic because she came to me and told me, she called me an asshole for stirring up racial, for stirring up the racial divide, right? Because I said that racists were going to come to this particular post, right? And it was amazing to me because she passed through all of these racist posts that I just got finished reading to you guys to chastise me about pointing out that racists would be here because this was talking about the United Negro College Fund. And the homie Brian Perry made this status, and I think it was so pointed. It was so apropos. He said that the I stand frame on Facebook is the MAGA hat for Facebook people, right? And it really is, because most of the people with those I stand photo frames you could pretty much guarantee that they voted for Donald Trump. And so this Denise lady, as she's calling herself chastising me, she had that frame. As she's calling herself chastising me, she's ignoring all of the racist shit that's actually led to what the fuck I said in the first place. And then it's like what they call it, gaslighting. Like, I got racist trolls hitting me up in the very thread that Denise is saying she sees no fucking racism in. Right. And it's my fault for even bringing it up. Well, I said on both sides, but you're only talking to me, Denise. right? It's like one of those things where, like, when it comes to racism, white people sometimes tend to think that the real racism is just pointing the actual fucking racism out, right? You get that whole thing. And Denise is trafficking in that whole line of thinking, like, yo, by me pointing it out and mocking it and making fun of it, that I am somehow the asshole and I am the problem and not the actual racist who don't want to donate to the United Negro College Fund because it may help some black kid go to school who was affected by the fucking hurricanes, right? Amazing how open and like I'll say this, man, the thing with the kneeling and stuff in the NFL, one thing that it has done, and it has like brought out so many people to come, like they feel so comfortable, especially with Trump and everything. They feel so comfortable just letting their racism flow, man. And some people, they had, you know, some consequences have been served. Like I saw a lot of people who have had lost their jobs recently because of some of the racist shit that they've been saying. I've seen some people like starting deactivating their Facebook. You start noticing like a lot of trolls starting to pop up. They got pictures of dogs and American flags and the bald eagle and shit like that. Or they don't have any profile picture at all. And they just go around saying crazy shit and whatever. You just kind of block those assholes. But it's amazing how many regular folks on their regular Facebook pages are feeling really comfortable going on social media and talking on very public forums and spewing a lot of this racist shit. And it was one of those things, man. For me, I was just like, man, like this is amazing. And I had this one dude that was kind of following me around, you know, he's talking about like you avoided me and all this other shit. And it's like, come on, dude, you know, you kind of look, you know, this would almost be adorable if it wasn't kind of creepy and like pathetic and like you want my attention sort of way. This would almost be adorable, but I don't fuck with you, man. Like, leave me alone. Back up. But yeah, man. So, yeah, I thought that was something that was kind of interesting, and that happened earlier on in the week. Another thing that's been going on over the course of the week. Now, we talked a lot about the shooting that happened in Las Vegas this past Sunday, right? And I know I talked a lot about it personally. You know, like how I was feeling about the entire gun debate and, you know, the arguments around gun ownership and everything else. Like, you know, honestly, I kind of feel like maybe I probably didn't have to say a whole hell of a lot of that because y'all knew how I felt about it, you know, about gun ownership and everything else. So it might have even been redundant. But, you know, one of the things I was I got this story from Yahoo.com. And it was basically talking about gun stores selling out of the bump stocks after shooters used them in the Las Vegas massacre. It says, gun stores nationwide are selling out of bump stocks, a device used by the Las Vegas shooter that allows a semi-automatic gun to fire as quickly as a machine gun. Police say that Stephen Paddock, the 64-year-old gunman, had outfitted 12 of his firearms with bump stocks, which he used to fire hundreds of rounds into a crowd of 22,000 concert goers Sunday from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. Hundreds were injured and at least 59 people were killed, including Paddock, who died from a apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. While some retailers such as Walmart and Cabela's discontinued the sale of bump stocks following the shooting, others couldn't help keep up with the demand. At least six online gun retailers examined by Newsweek had sold out of the device this week. Slidefire, a Texas-based manufacturer of bump stocks, sold out of the devices within days of the mass shooting. The company posted a note to customers on its website that said, we have decided to temporarily suspend taking new orders in order to provide the best service to those already placed. Another Texas-based bump stock manufacturer, Bump Fire Systems, noted on its Facebook page on Tuesday that its website couldn't handle the amount of interest it had received this week. Currently, our servers are down due to high traffic volume, read a post on Bump Fire Systems' Facebook page. Please be patient. Our IT department is currently working on the issue as fast as possible. Now, I am not very much of a conspiracy theorist, right? I'm just not. Like, I think sometimes, man, people read a lot into shit and they try to connect dots where some of those things might not necessarily. I get it. Sometimes people are skeptical of the official story, and sometimes they'll reach for dots that might not necessarily connect, but they'll connect them anyway, right? And so, you know, you've already started to see a lot of this where people are posting pictures of another Steven Paddock saying, well, this dude's been dead and it's not him. And well, his wife or his girlfriend looks younger in this picture. Why are they only showing these same two pictures of this dude? And like, there had to be multiple shooters. He had to have help and all of these different things, man. You start hearing all these different theories and whatnot. But one of the things that I was thinking about as I read this story was the fact that we talked about a couple months ago, we talked about how, as a matter of fact, I can tell you when we talked about this. We talked about this when we were talking about Philando Castile and how the NRA was eerily quiet on the verdict that came down for Philando Castile's killer, right? And we talked about how after the election of Donald Trump, after they installed that dude into the White House, the NRA no longer had the boogeyman of Barack Obama, and they no longer had to worry about Hillary Clinton in an effort to take away all the guns, right? Because that's one of the things that the NRA kind of promotes all the time, is that they come in and take your guns away. We gotta keep these people out of office. We gotta tamp down on any new measures for gun control and everything else. And this is what we gotta do. And one of the things that I thought about, and of course, like I said, this is it's just a theory, and it's like it's wild to me, even me. But like, I was wondering about whether or not the NRA had anything to do with this shit. Like, whether or not, like, you know, this guy doesn't fit any profile. He was a wealthy dude, man. He got all his guns legally through legal means, you know, so he can kind of fit the narrative of, well, he went through the background checks and, you know, he was, you know, a person of means. He didn't have any mental incapacities or anything like that. He did everything the right way. And, you know, so long as we are protecting our Second Amendment rights to own a firearm and everything else, like, we gonna protect even his right to do what the fuck he did. Right. And I kind of wondered whether or not this was a ploy by the NRA to get people to start buying guns again, start buying gun accessories again, because the sales had started plummeting under the presidency of Donald Trump. Right. They didn't have the boogeyman anymore to go tell these people like, yo, you need to go up and buy up all this ammo. You need to go up and buy all these guns. You need to buy all these accessories. We losing fucking money. So if we can go out here and we can kill some people, maybe that'll get the government to start talking about banning some shit. And when people are scared about the government banning some shit, guess what's going to happen? All these silly motherfuckers are going to go out here and buy up all the shit. They're going to buy up all the ammo. They're going to, now these butt stocks, these bump stocks, all of a sudden, everybody fucking wants them. Like, bump stocks have been available for a long time. All of a sudden, everybody wants them because they're scared these motherfuckers are going to go out, are going to be inaccessible. They're going to get banned. And I, like I said, I know it's crazy. I'm not like a conspiracy theorist, but I was just wondering whether or not could the NRA be that fucking sinister to that degree to where they would fund or set up a guy to do something like this in order to spur sales for guns and gun accessories like the bump stock, because sales have been plummeting since Donald Trump became president of these United States. I can't believe I even just said that. Right? So yeah, man, that was something that I was thinking about. Some other shit that's going on in the news, man. And this is going to be in the news. Now, in the news, we got Cam Newton, right? Cam Newton is in the news for kind of the wrong reasons, man. Cam Newton kind of put his foot in his mouth earlier this week. We were talking about, he was talking about football. He was talking about, he was at a press conference. And there was a woman reporter who had asked Cam Newton about the routes that Devin Funchess, the former University of Michigan wide receiver who now plays for the Carolina Panthers, about the routes that he was running and how how he's embracing the physicality of the routes and whatnot, right? And Cam Newton kind of like kind of chuckled a little bit as she was reading or asking him this question, and then said that he's surprised that a female would be asking him a question about routes, right? Now, you know, the interesting thing about this is that this conversation happens kind of like it comes up, it goes away, and then like something big happens, like Cam Newton saying this in a press conference on national television, and it becomes a thing and people get to talking about it and whatnot, right? But one of the things that I found really interesting about this entire discussion was how many brothers rushed to the defense of Cam Newton, right? Made sure that Cam Newton was that he was kind of protected in this particular instance, right? And it's one of those things where, you know, we've talked about the attitude of brothers, right? You know, black men. We've talked about how, you know, black men can be seen as the white people of black people, right? And I've had, you know, many discussions with some friends of mine about it, where we, you know, we've argued about it. We've agreed to disagree on a lot of this shit. To some degree, I'm kind of still judging them a little bit because of what they said and stuff like that. But the idea that it isn't offensive for a man to refer to a woman as female, and dudes have made this determination amongst themselves that it isn't offensive for a man to call a woman a female, right? And what's odd about the entire thing is the fact that, like, it's not as if you couldn't just say woman, right? A lot of dudes, if we don't have this discussion, man, a lot of dudes use this move, they use this term in place of bitch, right? Instead of saying those bitches over there, they'll say some shit like, well, those females over there, and an attempt to. Because I think a lot of times these dudes are attempting to be what some would call politically correct, right? They're attempting to temper their crassness, so to speak. So they'll call a woman a female instead of a bitch, right? And so, like, dudes have, like, it's kind of weird. Like, they've determined that female isn't offensive to a woman, although women are telling them that it is offensive to them. It's amazing how dudes are trying to hold on to this, right? And then when you tell them that, okay, it's offensive to women, now these same dudes need this drawn out explanation as to why female is considered a negative term when speaking about a woman, right? And it's amazing the disconnect when we talk about how black men can be the white people of black people. Straight black men can be the white people of black people. Is that white people do that shit to us all the time, man, right? Can you imagine you having to tell a white person that nigger is offensive and they should never use it, despite how often we use it amongst ourselves? And then a white person demanding that you give them an explanation as to why it's okay for you to use it and for them not to be able to use it. Can you imagine how frustrated you would be having to have that conversation with a white person who isn't a part of your community, who doesn't share your experiences, who has no idea what that word means and how it makes you feel coming from them? How frustrated you would be having that conversation when you have to explain to them, no, motherfucker, you can't say this to me. And this is why it's not okay. And it's amazing because brothers don't necessarily put the two and two together. And it's a lot of brothers who will listen to me right now and be like, yo, man, you can't make that comparison, man. You can't make that comparison, man. They not the same, bro. You can't make that comparison. I'm like, nah, it kind of is. It's a parallel discussion. Those two things run on a parallel, especially when we're talking about privilege and when we're talking about marginalization. Those things kind of run side to side. It happens, right? So I've been watching a lot of dudes go out of their way to defend Cam Newton on this, right? Now, Cam Newton has come out and apologized about what he said. Whether or not the apology was genuine or not, I don't know. You know, there was talk of Dannon, who was a sponsor of Cam Newton. They have decided to drop Cam Newton's commercials. They have decided not to renew Cam Newton's contract to be a spokesperson for their product. And Dannon sells a lot of Oikos yogurt. I know it's, you know, a lot of women eat your Oikos yogurt. Like that's a target audience for a lot of Dannon products, right? So it makes sense for them to not want to attach themselves to Cam Newton after what he said. But the ridiculousness of the defenses of Cam Newton is what really started like kind of making me go like, man, what are you niggas? This is the hill you niggas really trying to die on right now, right? Because I saw, hold on, let me see if I can pull this up, because this shit was ridiculous. I saw a nigga actually try to compare what's happening to Cam Newton to the death of Emmett Till. Seriously, that fucking happened. So, as a matter of fact, let me read this shit to you, because this shit is bananas, right? So, this dude, Kenneth Allen, fuck it, I ain't like sparing these motherfuckers' privacy. Kenneth Allen, he went to Facebook and he wrote, "They took Emmett Till, beat and mutilated his body, shot him in the head, and dumped him in the river simply because a white lady said he offended me in the grocery, after which it weighed so heavily upon her that she had a recant and state that she had falsely accused this young boy. Ma'am, Cam can say and be arrogant at times, but that particular statement didn't offend you to the point that he has to be beat, mutilated, shot in the head, and dumped in the river by social media, and you can stop this by simply saying it." Are you really serious with this shit right now? Like, is this where you're going with this? That people are talking bad about Cam Newton because Cam Newton said something out of the side of his neck, and you go to Emmett Till. You go all the way there. Really? That makes no fucking sense, man, right? So now, interestingly enough, the journalist who was asking Cam Newton about the physicality of the routes that Devin Funchess had been running over the course of the year, you know, people went back in her Twitter and they found her saying something about her father being racist and it was the best thing ever and all this other stuff, and she's apologized for it. I'm not sure exactly how far back those tweets go, but of course people will use that and to say, well, she said this racist shit, therefore we can negate what Cam Newton said to her because she said this racist shit, as if that makes what Cam said okay, and it doesn't, right? Now, she came out with an apology and whatnot about, you know, she, you know, I get it, that was wrong and everything else. And like I said, sometimes we can endorse, we can laugh about some shit that we might not necessarily agree with as we grow up and we learn other, you know, we learn better ways and better things. I'm not sure how sincere that apology was. But what I won't do is say that, okay, because she did that, that somehow makes what Cam Newton did all right. Because it's not even about Cam Newton doing this against a white woman. Dudes do this against women all the time. Whether she's white, whether she's black, whether she's racist or not, this happens all the time. All right? So it's been real interesting to watch people, even after Cam Newton has come out, he's put an apology video out. He's sorry for what he did. And even in saying that he's sorry, there are still people saying, oh man, I wouldn't apologize for shit, man. Fuck them people, man. He only doing this because he got to protect his money. You know what I'm saying? He don't really mean that shit. He only doing it because he want to protect the money. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't apologize, man. Fuck that shit, man. These females be tripping, nigga. These females be on some bullshit, nigga. And really, they only want to say bitch. They trying to keep from saying bitch. Right? They're not even, and the funny thing is, like, you can call a woman the same way that you say, hey, that man over there. You can say, hey, that woman over there. You don't, like, I very seldom hear dudes, and I'm you know, when we talk and whatnot, I very seldom hear dudes walk around someone say, hey man, those males over there. That very seldom happens. And very seldom do dudes take someone telling them that an offense to them really isn't all that big a deal, they don't take that shit well, right? You imagine a white dude walking up to you, calling you boy, and how you would feel about this white dude calling you boy. You 35 years old with kids of your own, 401k, mortgage, car notes to pay, and this white man walks up to you and calls you a boy. How heated motherfuckers get about shit like that? How ready to fight motherfuckers is about shit like that? But then you're gonna then turn around and say that when a woman is upset with you calling her a female, that is no longer, it's not that big a deal. And then get mad when people say that straight black men can't be the white people of black people. It's amazing, man. It's amazing to watch how sometimes we hold on to this level of privilege that we do have, although we would proclaim that we don't have it, right? As men. You know, like, that was one of the things about that whole straight black men are the white people of black people, man. Like, I was asking one of my friends about it, you know, as we were disagreeing about the topic. And it's like, basically, do you think that as a black man, that the privileges or the advantages that you get as a man are negated simply by you being black? And he told me yes. It's a whole lot of brothers out here who think that by virtues of them being black, that it negates any advantages that they have by being male, despite the fact that we live in a patriarchal society. And they know that we live in a patriarchal society that advantages men all the time, and women are battling against that. So, yeah, man. It's just weird to see that. It's just weird to see, like, dudes hold on to that and still get so upset when people talk about them being the white people or black people, man. It's real interesting with that, right? Now, another thing that kind of happened over the course of the week, and this wasn't really big news or nothing like that. This is something that kind of came across my social media over the course of the week. And it was really interesting to me because, for one, it was something that I really wasn't expecting, right? So I came across, there was a meme of Shannon Sharp. And Shannon Sharp was with a white woman, right? Let me see if I can pull this meme up. Let's see if I still have it here. There was quite a substantial discussion about this particular topic on Facebook earlier in the week. Okay. It says, you can't talk black and sleep white. This is a coon tradition. Hashtag Shannon Sharp, right? Now, one, I think that coon term gets thrown around, you know, it gets thrown around quite a lot. It kind of loses its value when you throw it around to some people whom I don't necessarily believe it applies to. I don't think that it applies to someone like a Shannon Sharp, right? And, you know, the interesting thing about it was I posted this, and I got this from a friend of mine who I went to high school with. And he just posed it as a question, and I'm going through some of the comments and things like that, and I'm watching people. And it was as if Umar Johnson was in the comment sections, because I was noticing a pattern with a lot of the talking points that people were using with Shannon Sharp being with this white woman, and a lot of it sounded like some shit that Umar Johnson would say, right? About this being a political decision for him to be with this white woman, that when he dies, that his assets go to the white family, and the wealth does not trickle down to black people. It goes right back into white hands if he dies and he leaves her all of his assets and everything else, right? And that no longer goes to the black family, right? And, you know, I'm listening to this and all of this other stuff, and I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, so for those of you who have been paying attention over the course of the last year since Shannon Sharp has been on their show, The Undisputed, on Fox Sports 1, Shannon Sharp has been one of the biggest voices to speak out in support of Colin Kaepernick in the protest that he's doing, kneeling for social justice as far as it goes for police brutality and police accountability and what have you, right? Shannon Sharp has been very articulate in a space where he's surrounded by people like, you know, Jason Whitlock and Nick Wright and Colin Cowherd and Skip Bayless. Like, Shannon Sharp, you kind of feel like he's the one dude on that whole fucking network that's speaking any level of sense whatsoever when it comes to this topic, right? And so a lot of people have come to love Shannon Sharp because of his the way he's articulating and is forcefully speaking about these issues when it comes to police brutality, when it comes to Colin Kaepernick, when it comes to this protest and what it means and how it's being executed and what he called the Cowboys out for trying to dilute the message. Everything, he's been on top of it. He's articulating the views of a lot of black people when it concerns whiteness in America and how it's affecting us, especially when it concerns sports and in particular the sport of football, right? So it was very interesting to see that all of the things that he said and everything he's shown you that he stood for over the course of the last year means nothing to a certain segment of folks because the woman he shares his bed with is white, right? Now, interestingly enough, you know, some people would say that like all white people are racist. I've heard that. I've had this discussion with people over the course of the week that all white people are racist and therefore he has embedded himself with a racist person and that person benefits from white privilege. That person has been socialized. That person has been taught all of their lives the benefits of being white and are draped in white supremacy. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting about that perspective was the fact that we know nothing really about this woman other than the fact that she's with Shannon Sharp. And folks are already ascribing views to this lady because she's in a relationship with Shannon Sharp. Now, I'm of the mindset that, you know, like for someone like this white lady who would be with someone like Shannon Sharp, one would think that she maybe doesn't harbor these views, that maybe she doesn't, you know, subscribe to the white supremacist diet, you know, paradigm. Maybe she doesn't, or maybe she does support speaking out on issues of inequality. And maybe she does understand to a certain degree what, you know, how whiteness has contributed to the suffering of black people and people of color across this country. Maybe she does. If she's going to be with somebody like Shannon Sharp, and if Shannon Sharp is speaking like this when he's at home, right? We don't know, but it was interesting to see people ascribe these ideas upon her simply because she was white, right? Now, one of the things about this entire idea that whiteness is innate of white people, or this idea of white supremacy is innate amongst white people, and that they're inundated with this, they are indoctrinated with this, and they walk around with this all the time. That may be true for some white people. That's true for a lot of white people. We talk about these white people all the time here on this show, right? But then you think about how we talk about, you know, interpersonal relationships with men and women, right? Now, men are we're socialized to act a certain way towards women, we're socialized to be kind of cold, we're socialized to be, you know, to pursue multiple women, we're socialized to think that women are only good for, you know, a few things, whether that be satisfying our sexual desires, whether that be feeding us when we want to be fed, whether that be leaving us alone when we want to watch the game or play PlayStation or whatever the fuck. Like, we have these ideas of what it means to be a man in relation to having a woman around. And a lot of brothers don't necessarily unlearn a lot of that shit. They've been inundated with this shit all their lives. To some degree, their mothers have been complicit in teaching them some of this shit, which is why it's so hard for a lot of people to let it go. Because even our moms have been complicit in teaching us a certain way a man is supposed to be. Or they got this idea of how a man is supposed to be and how a man is supposed to act, even if it comes at their own detriment, right? And you see a lot of brothers all the time talk about how, you know, my sister, or like, you know, my homegirl, like, she cool with this shit, man. Like, she ain't all caught up in that feminism shit and all this other stuff. She cool with it. In much the same way that white people say, well, I got a black friend that's not, you know, that doesn't have a problem with the way that I speak or the way that I act or the way that I am amongst other or I am amongst people of color, right? So we have this idea, you know, men, we have this idea of how we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to act, all these other things. We're inundated this from the time we're born. And it's amazing that even to their, like, with all the shit, with the society set up the way that it is, to the benefit of men, to some degree, to the detriment of women, and how men kind of operate in this spectrum. Why women even deal with men at all, considering all the bullshit that they're subject to dealing with men, right? Yeah, they can leave, you know, like they need, what's that, reproductive purposes or whatever else, man. You know, a little shit like that. But, like, if you think about it over the grand scheme of things and in the ways in which men kind of operate and the way the society is set up against women, you kind of wonder, like, why would a woman bother being with a fucking man at all, considering all of this shit that's set up against her, right? So, you think about that. And then you think about the fact that, yo, of course not all men are like that. Right, some dudes, you know, come to some level of understanding. They come to a certain level of enlightenment about the ways of the world and how they're contributing to maybe the detriment of someone else, and they don't want to be a part of that anymore. And you know, like, yeah, there's an understanding, like, yo, everybody ain't like that. Everybody is not at the base of what we think men and women are supposed to be. In much the same way that, like, yo, there are some white people who don't necessarily ascribe to white supremacy, to white privilege, and they don't want to participate in it, and they don't want to promote it, and they don't want to expand it. So, yo, like, they'll find themselves with a person of color, and they're not necessarily with that person of color because they fetishize this person and they want to just be with somebody because they've heard about jungle fever and all this other shit. I heard black guys have really huge dicks. Like, none of that. They're with that person simply because they like that person. They have a love for that person. And it's weird just, like, you know, having that level of understanding about things and then watching people call this man a coon because he's not laying up or he's not with a woman of color. He's not with a black woman. Now, one of the questions that I'm gonna leave this as a poll question on thespanreport.com on this episode, I want to know from the sisters, do you feel a level of betrayal from black men when you see them with a white woman? I'm going to leave that poll question on thespanreport.com, episode 180. I would love to see the responses to that poll and how you guys feel about that particular topic. Because although, you know, I can understand, like, some people feeling a certain way. I'm not a woman, and I'm certainly not a black woman, so I'm not in any position to tell anyone how to feel, but I would certainly love to hear from black women as to how they feel about this particular topic and whether or not you think someone like a Shannon Sharp is a coon because despite everything he says, he's with a white woman, right? Personally, I don't think that someone who is who is in an interracial relationship, I don't think that means that they love their people any less. I don't subscribe to that line of thinking. But I would love to hear what you guys think on that particular issue. So yeah, I'm going to leave that poll question on this episode, man. Episode 180. Do you feel betrayed, black women, when you see a black man with a white woman, man? Let me know. Let me know what you guys think on that issue. As a matter of fact, while we're talking about polls, let me read some of the poll results from the last time, man, I had a poll for you guys. Man, it's been a while since the last time I read some poll results. I need to really get better at doing this about the poll results. But the last time I asked you guys about any polls, man, let's see. It was, do you think it's possible for a man to be raped by a woman? And now this poll was asked, this was when I was talking about, I believe this is episode 178, where we were talking about Kevin Hart and the situation that he was dealing with, that we extortion and everything else, and whether or not it was possible for Kevin Hart to have been raped in that particular instance, and whether or not people think it's possible for a man to be raped. And 100% of Span Report listeners believe that it is possible for a man to be raped. This is absolutely, especially if they're under the influence, a man can be raped. The other choices were, no, guys are always ready for sex with women, and I'm not sure. But yeah, 100% of the people who voted in this poll decided that, yeah, it's very well, it's absolutely possible for a man to be raped by a woman, especially if he's under the influence. So thank you to everybody who voted in that poll. I also got a email. This one here comes from General Eric, and this is in response to episode 177. And General Eric writes in and says, "Mr. Span, greetings. Getting down to brass tacks, I have to disagree with you on your criticism of people's reasoning for their protest in the NFL. You're correct. Greg Hardy should not be in the NFL because he is a convicted domestic abuser. But this makes the NFL and its owners look more like hypocrites for refusing to sign someone like Colin Kaepernick, who didn't do anything wrong but only expressed his First Amendment rights to something going on in society. Second, Ray Rice is pretty much out of the league. From my recollection, no team has offered him a contract or even a tryout." Now, on those two points, the point that I was making was, it wasn't even so much about whether or not the NFL was going to do these things, because I'm not even surprised by the NFL signing someone like a Greg Hardy, or whether or not the NFL was willing to let Ray Rice come back after, I think it was like a 3 or 4 month, a 4 game suspension. And Ray Rice was met with cheers as he was going through the suspension. He was going through training camp or whatever else. He was met with cheers. Those fans cheered him as he knocked out his fiance in that elevator. And so, and not only that, there was a lot of brothers, whole lot of brothers, who never made a point about boycotting the NFL because Greg Hardy was being signed by the Dallas Cowboys after being convicted of domestic violence. That there was a lot of brothers who saw that video and never made any attempt or never made any stink about trying to boycott the NFL after watching Ray Rice knock his woman out in an elevator, and they still played fantasy football. They watched football. There was no concerted effort about having a boycott of the NFL after these two incidents. There wasn't. There simply wasn't. And so the point that I was making was, when it came to this boycott with Colin Kaepernick, it was solely around the idea that a black man was told no, right? And a lot of brothers can identify with being told no. And a lot of brothers can identify with being told no and it being unfair, right? So the point that I'm making is, yo, I get it. I get it. I understand it. But at the same time, there wasn't this push when it concerned women and when it concerned the actions of some of the players who didn't necessarily deserve your money or your eyeballs. It was only when this happened, when Colin Kaepernick was told no, that a lot of brothers jumped on this bandwagon to say, yo, man, I'm not watching football no more till they get Colin Kaepernick a job. And I don't even disparage you for that. Let me make this clear. I'm not even saying, I'm like, yo, I get it. If you don't want to watch football no more, man, like, oh, man, I get it. I'm watching football this year. I get it. But I noticed that. And I'm not the only one who noticed that. There was an article written by a sister who also noticed that. A lot of people noticed that. There's been all these things going on surrounding football that didn't get these people moved to the point where they were talking about boycotting the game and not watching the game, right? So yeah, that's what that might be. You know, we'll probably continue to disagree on that point. Additionally, he writes in to say, in the case of Michael Sam, the guy was a 7th round pick. I don't think he was ever going to make the Rams roster. You forget that Michael Sam has always had support as a gay player in college. I didn't forget that. Not at all. I didn't forget that at all. It says, vans of Missouri counter-protested Westboro when they showed up to the protest to protest him being in the game. It's no different when he was drafted in the NFL. There was still an overwhelming majority of support with very little criticism about him as a person and more on him as an NFL-ready player. The case of Michael Sam is the same as Jason White. Google him if you don't know who he is. An outstanding college player, but not NFL-ready. Well, here's the thing, man. I knew that Michael Sam was out in college, and people knew that he was out in college, and a lot of his teammates knew that he was gay in college, and when he came out to them, they were not surprised because they knew him, right? And he got a lot of support at the University of Missouri, and it was a story. Like, people knew that he was gay, and they knew that he was coming out of the NFL. He was coming out to the NFL. He was also the defensive player of the year in this conference 2 years in a row. Twice. Right? And it wasn't like no chump conference. It wasn't like he was in the fucking, I don't know, the American conference or no shit like that. It wasn't like he wasn't in like what's another like really bad like football conference? Like shit, the Mountain West. He was in like the Big 12, man. Like, you had Nebraska that was in that conference. You had fucking Texas that's in that conference. Texas Tech is in that conference. Oklahoma's in that conference. Oklahoma State's in that conference. Like, he's playing against some big-time motherfucking programs, and he's dominating on the field and on those programs. And you mean to tell me that a player of that caliber falls all the way to seventh simply because of his football ability after he's been able to dominate defensively in that conference for as long as he had been? And then, come on, man. Come on. This is what I'm talking about. Like, we bought that whole, he wasn't football ready, right? We bought that he's just not good enough. You're hearing these same arguments about Colin Kaepernick right now. Colin Kaepernick isn't good enough. Colin Kaepernick doesn't fit our system. Colin Kaepernick is a distraction. These same fucking arguments are being used right now against Colin Kaepernick that you're using against Michael Sam. But Michael Sam, the reason why he was not ever really given a real shot in the NFL was because he was gay. That's why he was not given a real shot. He falls all the way down to the seventh round. The defensive player of the year, 2 years running, falls all the way down to the seventh round. Teams are already looking at him as the gay player. It's already known he's the gay guy. And now, is he going to be a distraction in the locker room? Do I got to watch myself in the shower when he's out here, man? Like, that, like those discussions, man, were being had all over the place, in the media, on ESPN, on Fox Sports, on Twitter. Everybody knew he was gay. It was what everybody was talking about. And NFL teams start talking about him being a distraction and not being worth the distraction. He was never really given a shot because of who he was. It had nothing to do with his football ability. That's why Michael Sam isn't in the league right now. And you know what? I didn't see a whole lot of brothers coming to his defense when it came to his ability to play the fucking game of football. A lot of dudes were like, well, he's the gay guy. Right? But when it came to Colin Kaepernick, brothers were stepping up. And again, Colin Kaepernick's cause is a worthy one. But it's noticed that when it doesn't involve a straight black man or women, that brothers simply didn't give a fuck. Simply didn't care. It's just noted, man. People notice this kind of shit. It also goes to say, R. Kelly is a slimy old man. I knew that when he married a 15-year-old, but to say that nobody black stopped supporting him is ignoring these latest rounds of allegations that actually hurt his ticket sales that resulted in more than a few canceled shows is just ignorance on your part. Now, okay, dude, I'll say this, man. I never said that people were not supporting him. I know there's a good contingent of people who not fucking with R. Kelly no more, right? But there's also a very good contingent of people who support R. Kelly. You know how I know that? Like, when R. Kelly was being accused of this whole harem of women in his house being locked up and these girls' parents coming out saying they can't get their daughters to come home. You know how many people was up? I can just tell you, people at work, man. People at my job was like, yo, man, how is he any different than Hugh Hefner? Hugh Hefner got hoes all over the place. How is he different from a pimp? You know what I'm saying? That's just pimp, man. They don't want to go home. Shit, they ain't got to make him go home. Like, I saw it was so many people making excuses for R. Kelly, knowing that he's been accused of being a sexual deviant, that he has been caught with photos of underage girls in his home in Florida, that he was on video having sex with a 14-year-old girl in Chicago, that he has been settling, statutory rape cases and what have you all over the city of Chicago, keeping these girls quiet, keeping them from talking. Now, I didn't say that more people weren't supporting R. Kelly. I didn't say that. What I said was R. Kelly is still out here doing his thing. R. Kelly is still out here performing. R. Kelly is still out here doing shows. He's still out here putting out albums. Hell, Marvin Sapp just did a fucking record with R. Kelly. Gospel singer Marvin Sapp is out here doing records with the Pied Piper of R&B, the man who has been accused and seen on video having sex and pissing on a 14-year-old girl. So no, this has nothing to do with ignorance on my part, bruh. Read up on this shit. You do your shit. You read up on this shit. Don't call me ignorant about it. And don't misconstrue what I said, man. It's not fair. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to you when we're talking about things that weren't actually said. So I appreciate you writing in, though, man. I do. And I hope you write in again, man. Like I said, we don't always have to agree, right? Here's the thing. You see how we disagree right here? And I ain't even cuss you out of nothing, man. I ain't even do that. Because I understand, like, yo, man, sometimes things can get misconstrued and everything else. It's how you talk to people that will determine the response that you get. And if you come at me sideways, you will be dealt with sideways, right? So, yeah, man. Like I said, I appreciate you writing in, and I hope to hear from you again soon, man. Real talk. Now, I was gonna talk about a review I got on iTunes earlier in the week, but fuck that dude. He left a 1-star review, and it was all over the place. Apparently, because I'm not gonna even read the review, but apparently, I hate black men, despite the fact that I'm a brother. I hate white people, despite the fact that I was just defending, like, Shannon Sharpe's white girlfriend and whether or not she might or might not necessarily be racist or whatever else. Yeah, I hate white people, and I hate black men, and I'm filled with estrogen, and I'm a feminist. Now, the funny thing about this, like, I've talked about this before. Like, people would throw that feminist term out there as if that's supposed to be a bad word. I'm not scared by being called a feminist. Hell, if talking about equal rights and equal protections under the law and having an equal level playing field between the sexes makes me a feminist, and goddamn it, I'm a feminist. I don't care how you feel about it. I'm not scared by these terms. I'm not. And if you actually knew what these terms mean, sometimes, man, I think some of y'all wouldn't necessarily be afraid of them either, man. Real talk. So yeah, fuck the guy who left that 1-star review. But that does make me want to say to all of you who really do fuck with your boy to go ahead and make your voice be heard when it comes to those 5-star reviews, man, because the people that don't fuck with you are the loudest, right? I know I get a lot of downloads, man. A lot of y'all listen to the show, man. A lot of y'all don't really say a whole lot, man. But yo, like, the people who don't fuck with you, They go to the mattresses, boy. They'll go and, like, you ever notice, like, when you don't put out a Yelp review until you pissed off at a restaurant, right? You can enjoy that restaurant all day long, man. Like, man, I went down to that motherfucker Ruth Chris. Ooh, boy, let me tell you. I had that goddamn tomahawk steak, and that motherfucker was juicy right there. But you never go to Yelp and you tell Yelp nothing. It's only when you get that bad service, right? You go to get that bad service, and you're like, man, I'm going to tell you, I was sitting there for motherfucking 45 minutes before this motherfucker even came over there to see if I even needed some water. 45 minutes, man. I had that damn, the ice had melted. I was drinking the ice, nigga. The nigga didn't even come back and fill my cup again. It's what I'm trying to tell you. So, yeah, man, if you're enjoying these shows, man, let your podcasters know. Let them know they ain't talking to the void. Let the word get passed on. And like, this is something that I like. This is something that I fuck with. And you could probably enjoy it too. So go ahead on iTunes and Stitchers, leave those 5-star reviews, man, and let people know what you like about these shows that you listening to every day, all day, right? But it's getting late. It's 10 o'clock. I'm supposed to be going out to celebrate a friend's birthday tonight. But before I go, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spanner Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead, hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. There's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails and I'll read those here live on the show, just like I did with the homie Eric, right? Also, iTunes and or Stitcher reviews, 5 stars preferably. Those get read here live on the show as well, man. So leave those. Help your boy out. Let everybody know that you fucking with us over here at the Span Report, right? Twitter and Instagram. Follow your boy, Mr_Span. We could chop it up throughout the week, man. I post pictures and whatnot and talk about everything a little random. And even with my Facebook stuff, sometimes it get linked over to the Twitter joint. So go ahead, follow me on Twitter and Instagram, man, Mr_Span. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. All of the podcasts are available there. You can watch the podcast later on. If you'd like to watch the video of the podcast, you can do that at the Span Report. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments. Everything's available there at thespanreport.com, and it's your one-stop shop for everything Span Report related, man. So yeah, I've been talking for a while. My throat hurts and I got to get out of here, y'all, but it's been good. It's been fun, and I'll talk to you guys again soon. So until next time, fam, peace.